Yoytze B'tshuva. And remember that Chazal already have told us that the reason we say twice, Hashem, Hashem, Kol Rachum Achan, and those words that we're going to be saying hundreds of times over the coming weeks, Hashem, Hashem, Kol Rachum Achan, why Hashem twice? So Chazal already said, Kan Koidem Achet, Kan La'ach Achet. There's that name of Hashem that we're calling out to before the chayt, before the sin, and there's the Shem Hashem la'achar chayt, and the Svarma Kalashim explain, and the Mechaber here is teaching us that these are two different worlds, they're two different lives, the life of a Jew before he has fallen to pieces, the chayt, the life of a Jew after he has already fallen to pieces. And therefore, the beginning of tshuva is the realization that it's not just a matter of correcting one particular act in my life, or a second, or two, or three, but it's a different perspective. There's a life of kaidem achet, and there's a life of la'achar achet. They're two different ways. And therefore, as I mentioned from the Arsa tshuva a few weeks ago, very often, even if a person can't point to a particular thing that's ripping him apart, but the overall feeling that he has is that he's not there. It's just a general sense of distance and a realization that he's not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that he doesn't have that meaning in his life that he was hoping to find. Where we ended last week was with the words of Rabbi Yaina. Let's review for a second the top of page Dalet. On the top of page Dalet, Hamayim B'Divrei Rabbi Yaina B'Shari Tshuva. We saw this at the end last week. Rabbi Yonah begins Shari Tshuva in such a way, explaining what is the meaning of charata. What does it mean, regret? We usually associate the word charata, regret, with a particular feeling of remorse that I have for some specific thing that I did or that happened in my life. But Rabbi Yonah says, "Shehi ha'akara, eich echlafti ba'olam cholayf, olam omeid la'ad la'olam." This hakara, this awareness, this recognition, it's much deeper than a particular problem. Eich echlafti ba'olam cholayf, olam omeid la'ad la'olam. There are two worlds. There's a world that's called the olam omeid. That world that is forever and ever. It's that world that gives a person absolute purpose and meaning in his life. That's called the Olam Omeid. It doesn't change from one day to the next, from one year to the next. It is the Emes, the truth, that is L'Olmei Olam. But then you have the Olam Cholef, the world that is constantly changing, a world that is not permanent, a fleeting desire that throws you completely off. So Rabbi Yonah says, the beginning of tshuva is that sense that a person has where he feels gevalt. What did I do? Eich echlafti ba'olam cholef? How did I make such a chalifin? How did I make such an exchange? How could I have exchanged a world that is real, a world that is forever and ever, a world that gives my life purpose and meaning, for something stupid that passes in a moment, for something that has no nitzchias, something that doesn't last beyond the moment of that pleasure? How did I make such an exchange? How could I have done such a thing? This charata tells the person that his life is simply not being lived the right way. Again, it's not this or that. That his life is just not, he's not, Shuchai eschayev b'tzura lo nechon. My life is just not correct. I'm living the wrong life. Hu hayochel lechias chayim shel olam omeid la'ad la'olam. He had the opportunity, and he still has the opportunity, to live a life, to sign up, to be a member of that way of living, that is a life that is omeid, olam omeid la'ad la'olam, that is forever and ever. Achayim shelo, hayucham litzor roshem ba'olam shel habayolam. His life could have made a difference, kivyochel, in the life of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the world of Hashem. Achulo asakach, that's what we're doing at the end last week. But he decided, or whatever happened to him, he's not living this life. His entire life is a life of olam over, a life that is constantly passing, a life that just is transitory, that's transient, that is here and gone. Ha'adam shirotz alach zebetshuva. Therefore, harotz zebetshuva, when a person is sincere, if he's serious, and he's not just talking about doing a little bit, like you know, in the house, speckle a little bit and to paint a little. You can walk into a house and the whole place is falling apart. The whole foundation is a total wreck. And the house is going to collapse. And you see the balabas is standing over there like a little speckle. It's like he's doing a little job on this wall and he's hammering a little bit of baseboard over there somewhere. He's doing... And you look at him and say, Tzachamon, this is... You want to tell him, listen, Rabbi, the whole place is collapsed. That's why we say, Hachzerin b'tshuva shleima lefanacha. It's not just a matter of a little bit this inyan or that inyan, speckling, a little paint job, a little fixing this, fixing that, tightening this, screwing this in. There needs to be a reevaluation of what your life is about and what's the purpose of your life. That's the meaning of tshuva shleima. So the beginning of Rabbi Yonis is explaining the beginning of tshuva is ha'adam b'sheroi t'alach z'b'tshuva tzarech l'hakish yesh bo kochus. He has to begin with this recognition, with this awareness, that he has tremendous kairos, he has the ability to do things in this world, to accomplish in this world, and none of this is actually being expressed, none of this is happening. And if he uses the kairos the right way, it could bring him to a life that is written up in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Sefer Chaim. Sefer Chaim doesn't just mean you're going to be alive, it means that you're living. And that the purpose of your life and the purpose of why you were sent into this world is being accomplished through those days, those weeks and months of your life and years. Lahavi also l'chaim shel netzach. Lifnai v'lifnim. To live a life. Lifnai v'lifnim. All the way inside in the inner chamber. Im kesher l'bari olam. With a deep kesher to the creator of the world. Hacharata shel oisei adam. Therefore, the regret that is the beginning of tshuva. He al kach shebeksiluso hechlif es oisai oilam vishkihe es kaychaisov ba'olam cholev. That first feeling of regret is, what did I do? I invested my energy into narishkeit, into silliness, into something which is from that world that's called the olam cholev, that's here today and is gone tomorrow, doesn't have any meaning, doesn't have anything, there's no permanence to it. That's what I invested my life in. Ha'olam shelo achrei achet hafach lios olam acher. Therefore, a person's life achrei achet, again, it doesn't mean this particular sin or that particular sin. The life of the sinful person, it has transformed his life into something else. He lives in a different world. Hafach lios olam acher. V'rotze lachzer ha'olam ha'amiti. The feeling of regret and that spark of what's called harotze b'tshuva, to want, not Hashem, that I want to return, that feeling is a feeling that I have to get out of the life that I'm in, and I must return to the olam ha'amiti, to the olam, that world that is permanent, that's forever and ever. But of course, it's not easy. It's a lot easier to think of speckling and doing a little bit of paint and a little bit of fixing. It's a lot easier to think of one particular thing in my life that needs some attention as opposed to an overall transformation. It's much more difficult. So the question is, how do we begin? So first, we have to recognize Habayah shalanu hi, our problem is she'ein bonu emuna amitis, we don't really believe. She'vichalteinu litzar b'chayim shalanu shinu shel mamash. The problem with tshuva is that, and this whole time of the year, is that most of us don't really believe that we can make some serious change in life. We don't really believe that. I mean, we say all the right words, and we might You might, during these next couple of weeks, you might shed a couple of tears. But to be honest, to believe that life could be different, most people don't really believe that. To change my life into a different kind of a life. In our simple way of living, we live in a world where of cause and effect. And cause and effect means that we have a very simple way of looking at things. If I was raised in a certain way, and that has caused my upbringing between my family and my schooling and my friends and my neighborhood and so on, and the things that I have watched on television or I've seen in the movies or I've seen on the internet or whatever, all of those things contribute to certain effects, to certain outcomes in my behavior. There's a seder of Siba and Asuba, cause and effect. And because of this, Lachain, he says, Koshulanaliros Echma Chaim Apshutim Baharadudim Shalonu Yichom Lispater Chaim Na'alim Yoser. If you get yourself into a rut and you place yourself into a certain category, you see yourself as a certain kind of a person. Like, for instance, you'll have somebody, this has happened many times, of somebody. Somebody screams like a meshuggah. He's crazy. He loses his temper. And then you ask him, like, why are you screaming like that? What's the matter with you? So he'll say, that's who I am. That's who I am. That's a terrorist. Kilu, that's a terrorist. Kilu, that's an excuse to insult, to hurt, to humiliate your wife, your children, your friends. And the terrorist is, that's who I am. That's who I am. So a person sees himself, and he's identified himself, and he's got himself, he thinks he's got himself figured out, that he's in a certain mahalach. He's in a certain mahalach. The same way that sometimes you have where a person is already, by the time he's in fourth, fifth grade, he sees himself as a mediocre student, as a 75 student. And then he continues on, you know, with a C+ and B-, and he sees himself that way. And how did that happen? Why did that happen? Doesn't make a difference right now. But he sees himself, most people identify themselves in a certain category, in a certain place. Remember many, many years ago, when I was a student here, we were in the cafeteria, myself with another guy, and we were a friend of mine, and we were from, at that time it was called Reeds, now I think it's called Yeshiva Program, and we were sitting, we were eating, and we wanted to have a third guy to join us for benching, for Mizumah. So this guy sitting on the side, he was in, at that time it was called EMC, now I think it's called IBC. We didn't really know him, but he was a third guy, and he was sitting right next to us eating. So I turned to him and I said, would you care to join us to bench in the Zoom? So he said, I'm an IBC. I'm an EMC. In other words, I'm not in the Yeshiva program. I don't bench. I'm not in that box. I'm not in that category of a Jew that benches. And we live that way. We have been placed and we continue on to seeing ourselves in a certain life, and it's very, very hard to imagine what Chaim Na'alim Yoser, it's very hard to imagine ourselves in a higher life. I had a guy a couple years ago came to me before Rosh Hashanah, and he said from the community, he said, Rabbi, I really want to make a change in my life. I've really been giving you a lot of thought, and I want to do something that's different. And I got all excited. I know what he's saying. It sounded really great, and I was so impressed. So then he said he wants to wear a gartel by davening. I said, that's the change you're making in your life? You go, it costs $5. You put a strap around your pipik, around your belly button. That's not that it's not important. I wear a gartel, and I believe it's a nice thing. But that's the big change you can make in life, to buy a gartel? If you would tell me that you're going to this year you took upon yourself to make a separation between some of the things that you're thinking about and how they affect your heart, or vice versa, or to strengthen your way of feeling, your emotions, whatever gartel helps with, whatever, or you want to put more energy into davening and so on and so forth. But to tell me that you decide you want to wear a gartel and you want to know should you put on a gartel because your parents might not wear it. If you're wearing a gartel, they'll get upset if you're wearing a gartel, so you don't know. This is your big Rosh Hashanah resolution. This is your big tshuva project to buy a belt. or someone comes, you know, crying, whether he's going to buy a hat, he's not going to wear a hat, he is going to wear a hat. This is what it means, Hareitz of a Tshuva. So the Yetzer Hara can work in such a way where he'll give you all kinds of different little props and different things that will convince you that you're moving on to a life that is more elevated. But the truth is that nothing's changed inside of you at all. Nothing has changed inside of you. Because it's very, very hard to get out of that rut that you're in. It's very hard. Shana Aleph, Shana Beit, Shana Gimel, Shana Dalet. And in the meantime, your tzitzis already have gotten longer and longer, and they're almost touching the floor. And it could be you even like to go a little pace like behind the ears. And it could be that you're steiging in the Bais Medrash more and more. And all of that is, if you like that, it makes you feel closer to God, that's fine. But as far as who you really are, that your life should be chayim na'alim b'yosef, that your life should be a more elevated life, that you shouldn't have the same disgusting and filthy thoughts, that you shouldn't creep into some room in the basement somewhere and look at things that you'd be ashamed to tell your children about one day. Chayim na'alim yosef, a more elevated life, you feel more of a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not that you shuckle more, not that you're saying a better pshat and taisis, but that you feel be'emes, a deeper connection to the one who created you. It's very hard to think like that. It's very hard for us to do that. Because that is not just a matter of, again, the guy came, he wants to know about the gartel, so he's talking about making a little bit of home improvement. We're not talking about home improvement. We're talking about a new home. We're talking about a new home. I've been begging my parents are very old, they're still 120, they live in Queens, and my sister and their two children, my sister and myself, my sister lives in Far Rockaway, we live in Woodmere, and it's becoming very, very, very difficult for my parents to do things. If you know that, if you have grandparents and so on, it's very hard for them to do things. For the last 20 years, my sister and I have been begging my parents to move to our neighborhood and that we'll take care of everything. My brother, you don't have to pack one box, we'll do everything, we'll take care of it. And to sell the house in Queens and to come with all the grandchildren and the children and grandchildren are all in the five towns. So there were two or three times that my mother said, okay, we'll go. And they went to look at a few places. They started parceling up every single place. My mother's parceling this. This place doesn't have a doorman. If you want this, I'm like a condo, you know, not to live in a house, to go to a condo. I don't like, I'm not going to live without a doorman. Then let me take the place that's a doorman. Mother said, I don't like to have a guy standing in the building all the time. It's like, so I can't, this way, that way, I can't, you know, there's no way to win. The terrace is, that you reach a certain point in your life and you're just afraid to change. You know that. That's what it is. And then my sister and I understand that. That they're afraid to go through, at this point in life, to go through that kind of upheaval. They had to move many times in their lives. And when they were younger, it wasn't by choice. They were being driven away from where they lived, so on and so forth. And they don't want to pick up and move. It's very hard to change. Sometimes a person can get a job offer, and the job offer is a higher salary, greater responsibilities. It's a more chashuv job. I had these discussions with guys from the shul very often, and they're hesitating. And I'm like, what's wrong? How are the hours? The hours are a little bit better than my last job, than my present job. What's the salary? Salary is considerably better than my present job. Is there a mincha nearby or in the office? Yeah, there are three minyanim, you know, in the building. So I'm trying to figure out, like, what about transportation? No, it's two blocks away from the other place. Well, sometimes it's even closer. It's even closer to the neighborhood. So, like, why are you coming to ask me? What's wrong with it? So he said, you know, then it'll come up like something crazy. Something that's so insignificant. And of course, the underlying reason is, I can't change. Even though this job opportunity is offering him the possibility of financially and security-wise, chayim na'alim yoser, a higher standard of life. But he's afraid. I'm used to my life. And always, that's almost always the lishonis that come up. You know, in the place I'm in, I know everybody in the office. I know my boss. I've been here for a long time. We get along. These kind of lishonis. That when you listen from the outside, it sounds like he's crazy. The guy can make 20%, 30% more money, have a more chashuv job, can move ahead in his career, and he can't bring himself to make that change. He can't bring himself to make a change. That's normal. Because in his mind, that job that he's in is an olam omed. I'm used to it. I feel secure in it. I'm afraid to enter into the unknown. To him, the unknown, the new job, is like an olam choleif. I don't know what it is. I don't know what that is. I don't know what to expect. I don't know if I could live up to the expectations of that new boss. I don't know if I could have so many people working under me and so on. I don't know if I could take on such responsibilities. And because of that, most of the people in the world just stay stuck. They remain in the smallness, the katness of what they're used to, what they're comfortable with, including chet, including sin. That's just the reality of this world. That's how it is. It's hard for a person to believe that he can actually live a life and identify with a life and feel comfortable in a life which is be'emes, a higher spiritual level. It's hard to imagine that. Not this parsha, but afterwards we're going to be laying, right before Rosh Hashanah, we always lay. You say that this mitzvah, which most Rishon learn is referring to tshuva, this mitzvah, right? It's not on the other side of the ocean. Lo b'shamayim hi, lo me'ever liyam, it's not in heaven. And how does the pasuk end? Who knows? Kikarov, no? Kikarov, elecha, hadavar, ma'od, b'ficha b'levav chalasos. It's very near to you. It's very near to you. So I spoke last year about this, that one of the Bali Musa, Rabbi Leib Chasim, Zechon Levracha, he asked a very strong question. Usually when you have a Havamina and a Maskana, you have this Havamina and then this, and then there's a Maskana, they're usually pretty close. For instance, let's say you say to someone that from here to Brooklyn, I think that from here to Brooklyn, it's 7 hours. No. Actually, that's the Havamina. No, actually, the Maskana, it turns out, it's a half hour, 40 minutes. The guy's nuts, no? Or he's terribly misinformed. Usually, there's some relationship between a Havamina and a Maskana. It's not like a wild Havamina. Right? A Havamina, if a person said, I think that from here to Brooklyn, from the Heights to Brooklyn, I think it's an hour and a half. And so it's no, I'm in traffic, but if you have a regular, it's 50 minutes, an hour. No, it's still on the range of a Havamina Maskana. But from 5 hours to a half hour, 40 minutes, is crazy. So Leib Chasim said, look what happens in this pasuk. K'amitzvah zayis, when it comes to the mitzvah of tshuva, so the Havamina is what? B'shamayim. Well, the Havamina is, it's Me'ever Liyam, on the other side of the ocean. And then what's the Maskana? No, it's not in Shemayim. You don't have to climb up to heaven. And you don't have to cross the ocean. Where is it? It's right here. It's mamish right here waiting for you. So Leib Chasim is, what kind of argument is that? The Maskana is so completely and totally evil. How could that be? How is it that a person has this havamina? That to be a tzaddik is a million miles away. You look at a picture of a tzaddik, look at Rav Kook. So you see the picture of a tzaddik, and you see the tzaddik, and you say, I love him, I respect him, I admire him, I would love to have a kid like that. Wow, that would be the greatest thing in the world if I had a kid like that. But I can never be like that. You know, I feel that way, you feel that way, right? I can never be like that. I'm not such a person. I'm just not like that. I can't be that way. So you feel that Rav Kook, we're looking at that picture right now, we feel that Rav Kook is b'shamayim me'ever liyam. To be that kind of a Jew that lives in a state of dveikus b'shem, that lives like that, I can't do that. I could like make some slight improvements. Again, home improvements. I could do a little bit speckling, a little bit paint job. I could try to be a little bit better, a little bit less lashon hara, a little bit more learning, a little bit more derech eretz. I could try that. But don't talk to me about that, because that's me'ever liyam. That's b'shamayim, that's in the heavens. I can't do that. That's the havamina. Now the maskon is, ki karav elecha davar ma'od. The Baruch Shalom says, who told you such a thing? That's in your head that you can never be like that. That's in your head that you gave up on being a tzaddik. At some very early point in life, now it's getting earlier than it used to be, at some point in life, you and I gave up on something. We gave up. We didn't give up on being Jews that are Shomer Mitzvahs, and we didn't give up being Jews that are better. But we gave up on a perception of life that is elevated, a perception of a Jew that has a deep attachment to Hashem, be'emes, be'emes, who lives in a state of kirvas elokim. At some point in life, because of the cycle that we were in and the way we saw ourselves, we came to the conclusion that being that kind of a person is simply out of our reach. It's beyond our reach. It's me'ev le'yam, it's b'shamayim. Being a person, there are some people, when it comes to Lashon Hara, there are some people who have given up. You just give up. You give it up. I can't do that. I can't be such a person. I'll give me some other mitzvah, some other aveira I'll work on, but I can't do that. When it comes to Shmir Sinai, when it comes to guarding the eyes, what we look at, when it comes to Shmir Sabris, I can't do that. I'll put on tefillin every day. I'll try to do minyan every day. I'll do what I can with other stuff, but there's a certain thing in my life. There's a thing in my life that's b'shamayim. There's a thing in my life that when you mention it, I can't relate to it at all. It's me'ev le'yam. It's on the other side of the ocean. It's me'ev le'yam. I can't relate to it. That's the havamina. It's in our heads. It's not the reality. It's in our heads. The maskana, Hashem is Baruch says, listen, Chevy, you're totally wrong. Yiddishkeit's not like that. Kikar v'lachad avamayit. It's very near to you. I placed inside of each and every one of you myself. I placed my infinite self inside each and every one of you. You and I are Jews. We're the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Sorry, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. You and I, every single one of us, you and I have inside of us a chelek eloka mimal mamash. Elokus mamash. It's the most natural thing in the world for us to be Rav Kook. I don't mean Rav Kook exactly. Tzaddik. It's the most natural thing in our... It's wired in. It's like, you know, the shul, the guys in the shul just bought me this fancy phone. Because I had one of the flip-ups and I couldn't get... They don't sell them anymore. And I also had to get this Waze thing. I had to have Waze. It's such a Gavaldia thing, Waze. Because I'm always getting lost. So so the guys in the shul... They got a phone for me and they crossed out all the internet. There's no internet on it. Somebody from Shul took care of it. He has the password. He has the internet. And I just have on it the Belechtech HaBederech and Waze and the phone. So even on the regular phone, I'll show you, it's a fancy one. Even on, it's nice and big. It's hard for me to see. Cool. My kid said it's cool. So even on this regular phone, I don't know what's going on. There's so many things it has over there. And I don't know what any of these things mean. And so, like, for instance, so I've found that sometimes now it's easier for me to text, even though I don't know how to type. But I started to try to do it because I found that there are certain people that if you call them back, you're on the phone for 40 minutes. It was just a yes or no, you know, and you're sitting there for the whole day talking to it. And I could just, on the text, I just go, no, yes. So even though it's hard for me, but it's still faster than schmoozing for a half hour, 40 minutes. So my daughter takes, so I show her to the phone, she says, Daddy, watch this. She takes it and she goes, I'm sure you know about this. To me, I never saw such a thing. She goes and she goes with her finger and she takes, but she draws the word. You know what I'm saying? She makes a line from the letters and it comes out to spell the word. She goes like that. She just makes like a and it comes out, hello. And then she showed me, and then you don't have to even do it, you can talk to it. You start talking to it and then it makes the text by talking to it. There's so much stuff on there, but what's the nafkimina for me? I don't know what it is. And I don't know what these features are, and even when it says words that this phone does this and does this and does that, I don't know if that could help me in life. It's a foreign thing. It's mamish b'shamayim. It's me'ev le'yam. It's me'ev le'yam. You know why? Because I wasn't. I'm not used to it. You were all raised in that technology. I wasn't raised in that. And like I said about my parents, I'm not that old, but it's hard to change. And the kids have been telling me, if your daddy, you have to lose that. I'm still holding out no email. I don't want an email or any of that stuff. But as far as using a phone that has these features, and for texting, and to make your life easier, and to make it easier for you to and faster for you to go through these things, to me, it's b'shamayim, it's me'ever l'yam. And the kids are laughing. The kids are saying, Daddy, karev elecha hadav ma'ayim. Using these all these cool things on the phone, it's karev elecha hadav ma'ayim b'ficho b'levav chalasoysay. You just have to be right to the truth. But it's mamish right next to you. I say, Kindlach, I look at this thing and I say, this is b'shamayim, it's me'ever. I can never learn how to use this. And they say, Daddy, it's not true. You just don't want to. You're not willing to change. You're stuck in 1965. But we're living now. It's 2014. Daddy, get with it. It's not Me'ev Eliyam. It's not B'Shamayim. It's Karev Elech HaDav Ma'oid. They're practically saying those words without quoting the Pesukim. It's practically the same words. So here, in the Hav Amina, Rabbi Leib Chassman says, Yiddishkeit, not just a little bit of home improvement, but being a Dehoy Ben Yid, which means an uplifted, elevated Jew. Being a Jew of Kirvus Elokim. Being a Jew that thinks of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Being a Jew that turns his head away not to look at things that are not appropriate. Being a Jew that lives a life of Kedusha and Tahara. To us it seems like Me'ev L'Yam. B'Shamayim, it's in the heavens, it's someplace. I can never be that kind of person. So what kind of person are you? So you have different categories. I'm either A, B, C, D, whatever I'm in. And in that category that I'm in, I could try to make a little bit home improvements. The maskana is, that's all in your head. It's all in your head. The truth is, karev elecha hadav ma'ayid. Not just karev elecha, karev elecha hadav ma'ayid. It's mamish, the closest thing, it's the most natural thing in the world for us. Karev elecha hadav ma'ayid. Not only is it natural, you know when you feel comfortable when you're in your own natural habitat. That's when you feel comfortable. The Baruch Shalom is saying to us, not only is it karev elecha hadav ma'ayid, but I'm telling you that if you would live this way, you'll feel great. That's what we see the rest of the Sefer. If you'll live this way, you'll feel great. Now you and I think, Rav Kook, you're the greatest. I don't want to live like that. I'm not just talking about your furry hat and stuff like that. I don't want to live that way. Like, I can't live that way. Because you read stories, you know, whatever. He gets up at 4 in the morning, he does this, and all kinds of avodas. And his davening and his learning. I don't want to live that way. You go, you take a walk through Gula Meir Sharm, it's a nice place to visit, it's interesting. You take a couple of pictures and you try to get out as fast as you can. It's you feel like you're suffocating. I'm not talking about the clothing and stuff. That life that we feel is so mitzumtzam. I can't live that way. I remember when I was in Yeshiva, at that time there was a place in Israel that was called BMT. You ever hear of it? Maybe your father's or something. It's called Beis Meshul. It's now where Torah Shraga is. So that was called BMT. Back then, Beis Meshul Torah. That was just at the beginning when guys were starting to go to Israel. So I was in BMT and I was invited. We wanted to have like a chavaya. Me and two of my friends, we wanted to like have to do something interesting for Shabbos. No. So we went one day to a Taldas Aaron. That time the Rebbe was alive. You know, Meir Sharm Taldas Aaron. So we went to Taldas Aaron, and they're very, very friendly chaver there. And they saw us. It was a weekday, and some yid came over to us, a Yerushalmi, with the whole thing. And he said, chaver, atem rotzim lavo l'Shabbat. He invited us to come Shabbos to Yibayim Friday night. That's what we were looking for. He said, okay, great. What's your address? And we went there Friday night. My mom didn't know what we were getting into. It was unbelievable. So, first of all, Kiddush took like an hour, at least an hour, hour and a half. Now, we didn't have much to eat Friday, Erev Shabbos. And we come to this Yerushalmi, he's got this sash. First of all, his wife and the girls are like at another table over there. And he's got a big bunch of boys. It's an interesting thing. Just a side thing, the kids he named, listen to this, the kids were named Yiskadal, Yiskadish, Shmei, and Rabbah. I thought he was joking, but those are their names. They're a famous Yerushalmi family, it's a cipher. So that's what he named the kids. The girls are named Gila, Rina, Ditsa. The boys are Kaddish, and the girls are eliminate these. I don't know what his cheshbon was with that. But he's this, he's sitting there. So we're just a couple of goofy guys. We thought we'd have some fun, you know, see something interesting. So he's there with the Askinus Adosa for an hour, the singing, we don't even know, we never heard of this stuff, sing all this extra stuff. We just want, you know, we're here for your bike, like, what's going on? Shalom Aleichem. Okay, maybe. But what's going on over here? It's going on and on and on. And then finally to watch food, Nabach, the so poor. I told my father about this. My father was always sending money every year to them. They're so poor. So what we have, so the tiny, tiny little piece of chicken like this, and I see that the mother wasn't eating because she gave us the piece of chicken. Like this, a piece of chicken. So by this time, it's already like, 11 o'clock at night, 11:30. And then he says to us, what was his name? The first name, I forgot. Rabbi Yedidya. He says to us, Chevre, we're going to go to the Rebbe. So I said, okay, so let's go. He said, no, Lachshav. I said, I want to, it's already 11 o'clock Friday night. He said, Lachshav. So I said, so when are we going? He says, the Tishri says begins around 2 o'clock. So what are we doing? Like, till 2. So he says, we're going to learn till 2. So, okay. So he takes out, and we start, he takes out to put the Torah about Tanya, and we're learning 2 o'clock, and we're falling apart. And then we're going, then he says, okay, he's like this guy's mamish. And then we're going to the Tish. We go to the Tish, and a couple of 100 chassidim over there, we told us, I know, the Gevei Amun, it was big tzaddik, big tzaddik. And we're there. The truth is, we had an unbelievable time. It was unbelievable. I think it changed my life that night. But I remember thinking, this is really, this is a lot of fun to do once, like every 20 years, you know what I mean? I could manage that. Like I had this Friday night in Tal Desaron, but I'm spoiled. These people live like this every week. That's how they have Shabbos, every Friday night. Every Friday night. Like they're not going to like to cozy up with a novel or something. You know, I read some novel. Like when we were in the yeshiva, we had, you know, couldn't leave the light on the room, so there was a bathtub in the room, so he put his blanket and pillow in the bathtub Friday night and be there till 2 in the morning reading some stupid novel. That's how I live. That's how we live. To be in a life where the most exciting thing for this family is the Rebbe's Tish. And that's how they live. It's not just once a year, like to go to see something for as a tourist, but to live in that life of Dveikus Bashem, and that the whole week everything leads up to a Tish with the Rebbe. Chayim Na'alim Yoter, an elevated life. I remember being unbelievably inspired by what I experienced that night, but thinking to myself, not in these words, that this is Bashamayim, this is Me'ev Le'yam, this is like, these people are in heaven, these people are across the ocean for me, I can't live like this, I can never be this. That's not who I am, I'm just Moshe, I grew up in Queens, I'm just a nice, modern Orthodox Bacher, I'm trying to be a little bit better, I'm trying to learn a little bit more, I'm trying to make my life more worth living. But to actually change my category of life, to be in a different Ramah, a different category of life, it's Bashamayim, it's further than Shamayim, it's Me'ev Le'yam. It's Mamash Me'ev Le'yam. And Hashem's book says, it's so silly. It's the most natural thing in the world. You know why these people are happy? They're happy, not because they don't have a choice, they're happy because it's natural for a Jew to have a Shabbos, that's completely Shabbosic. It's the most natural thing in the world. Even though to us it seems like it's totally unnatural. That's an unnatural way to live. To go to Rebbe's Tish. We didn't get back from the Tish. We didn't get back, I didn't tell you the end. We didn't get back from the Tish till 4:45. So then he says to us, he says, you tired? Well, yeah, we're tired. He says, okay, so go to sleep. So it's okay. But then when, you know, I don't know what time shul was going to be, I didn't really care. He said he'll wake us up for shul. So we go to sleep at 4:45. 7 o'clock. Opens up the door. He's Gabri Kari. He starts to scream out. I look, it's 7 o'clock. So I said, what's going on? She says, what is going on? Shabbos, mikveh. Let's go. And he starts to pull off our blankets. Mikveh. So I can't go to the mikveh later. We're going to mikveh now. The mikveh's not open later? Mikveh! And he pulls the blankets off. And then we go. So before diving taka started, diving started later. But there was a 2-hour seder before diving. 2 hours seder, chassidus before diving. And I'm thinking to myself, these guys are serious. They do this every Shabbos. I'd rather die. No, I'm telling you, I'd rather die. I can't live like this. How do you live like this? I mean, they take Judaism very seriously. It's 24 hours, and this is how it is. It's a very serious thing. And this is all besides the unbelievable sweetness of these people and how wonderful they were to us. The mother, at least one Erev Shabbos, if that, at least one Erev Shabbos, one Friday of the month, she would come to the yeshiva and bring us a cake for Shabbos, the guys. This lady from Tal Desar, she'd bring us a cake. She would come. With the black stockings and the whole thing. She would come on the bus, 2 buses, and bring us a cake. Oh, an elevated life, a different life. We don't usually think that way. We usually think that, listen, this is who I am. In my, like the electrons. Electron, I don't know much about that, but I remember that the electrons, they move around a lot, right? They move around a lot, but they move in an orbit. Is that what it's called? I think it's called they move in an orbit. Maybe they changed the name. Huh? What's it called?
Orbital.
Yeah? Oh, I remember that. All right. So it moves around like that. So they move around in a way that appears to be completely random, but they move in that madrega that they're in, but just in that madrega, there's a lot of activity. Mostly that's how we look at our lives. I'm a certain type of a person. I'm a certain madrega. In my madrega, in my category, I'm going to bounce around. Like I'll do stuff. I'll try to be a little bit better, a little bit this, a little bit that. I'll move around. Sometimes it's good, sometimes I have a urethra. You know, I'm in my, say the word again.
Orbital.
Okay, so in my orbital, I'll do a dance, you know. Sometimes it's a good day, sometimes a little bit less, but I'm in my, in other words, I don't do any big, 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 huge mitzvahs. I'm no big tzaddik, and I also don't do really, really big averus, chas v'shalom. I have a certain orbital that I'm in. But to go to a different one, the electrons don't do that. They hang out in their orbital. They just hang out in their orbital. But in their orbital, they make changes and adjustments. But if you say to the electron, you know, there's something bigger than this orbital, like there's something really big beyond this orbital, it says, b'shamayim hi, me'evel hayam, it's on the other side of the ocean, it's in heaven, I can't do that. But the Baruch Shalom is saying to each and every one of us, k'kar v'lech ha'dav ma'oid, mamish, k'kar v'lech ha'dav ma'oid. That's what he says. Kosh alonu laham, and look 4 lines up from the bottom. Kosh alonu laham, and shenuch ha'lichyos, l'zdaus imchayim, b'ramar v'chaniz, gevor yose. It's very hard for us to believe that it's possible to actually live a higher life, a higher spiritual life, because we don't truly believe that our desires, our taivas, and our interests can truly change. This is the kind of person I am. I have these taivas. My only avoid is to control them. Can I even perceive of a life where I don't have such taivas? Can I even think of such a life? Where I don't have those times? Where I'm not interested in such a thing? Where such a thing could even cause me to feel loathing and disgust? Could I imagine such a thing? No. I can imagine the rest of my life fighting against the taiva. Being a warrior that fights against the taiva. Can I imagine myself not to even be in that parasha, that I'm higher than that taiva? That the taiva doesn't interest me, that I look at it as something which is not for me at all? I had this lady once, she told me, she's like a, I don't know, at that time she was like a 35-year-old mother, like a Haredish lady with a bunch of kids. She came from a modern background. And she told me that she started to get, she was all upset and felt very bad, and she wanted to admit, I don't know what horrible sin she's going to tell me she did. She tells me she does something terrible, and she does it on a regular basis. I'm getting nervous what this is about. So she tells me that, like, every now and then, she goes down to the basement when everybody's sleeping, and she locks herself in a place, and she puts on, like, old Madonna records and tapes, and she dances. So I felt, you know, like a little, I mean, it's not like the biggest mitzvah in the world, but it's also not what I was worried about, you know what I mean? So I felt relieved, like, it's okay. She dances by herself. She said, not only that, she said, oh, I thought it was going to get more interesting. She says she puts on a pair of, like, leotards, you know, for dancing. So she saw that I wasn't so, I'm not so impressed, you know, I wasn't so displeased, because I kept on going, oh, not so terrible, it's not so terrible. She's crying. I said, oh, okay, it's not so terrible. So she says to me, I'm already, she says, my kids will have long pears, and then I cover my head up to my eyebrows or something, and I have this whole life, and my husband's this tzaddik and everything, and here I am, I'm just the same girl from wherever she was from. Here I am, 20 years later, just listening to Madonna record and dancing in a pair of tights. I'm the same person. And it took some time. I was talking to her about how, it doesn't mean the same person, but old habits are hard to get rid of. The problem with you, I said, is that you identify yourself with those habits. That's not who you are. There is something in your past that you're still fascinated with and you're comfortable with. That doesn't mean that's who you are. You have to be careful with that. I mean, who you are. But it's very, very, very hard to see oneself as being Na'ale Yosir, as being a person that's more elevated than he was growing up. It's very hard. Avala Emesi, but the truth is, Shekayomim b'nefesh al ha'odim revodim amukim rabim shehu lo makir. That the truth is that there are layers and layers, levels and levels in a person that he b'chlal doesn't know about, just like with the marshal of the phone. There are many, many things in the phone I don't know about. There are many things in a person, very, 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 very deep, many levels inside. Shulamakir, that Bechal doesn't know. But Yochel Agiyaleya, but he can access them. He has the password, he can get to it. But Yochel Agiyaleya, Ulishtanus Lagamre, Adli Hecker. And he can mamish change, Adli Hecker, to be a higher and greater person. Not just the same person with slight adjustments, to be a greater person. To live a different life. Chayim na'alim yosir. Uchimavu b'rambam sh'achrei sh'odim sh'odim b'tshuva hu neprach li'ish achir. The Rambam uses such a lesson in Hilchos Tshuva. That the person is ki'ilu is an ish achir. Let's just take another minute to finish this. Ho v'ayisod shal tshuva hu livnos b'nav sh'enu chayim chadoshim, page 8. Since the point of tshuva is not just to fix this or to fix that, but to live a life where a person has a true shaykhus to ruchnius, tavodus Hashem. Dover rishon aleinu losim leiv shavodus Hashem shalonu tia be'emesim keshel b'yoelim. The first thing you have to begin to think about is avodus Hashem means being an eved Hashem. It means having a kesher with Hashem, having a relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If we look at our Yiddishkeit, we would see that we kimat don't think the entire day, we don't think once about our relationship with Hashem. That's with the Shachris and Menchen Amar. That's with Brachis and Benchim. That's with Tfil and Sitchis and so on. And learning. Kimat don't think about Hashem at all. Harichuk shalonu hu noira kol kach. This distance is so horrible, so tremendous. Ad shegam kasher onu mekayim mitzvus. But even when we are doing the mitzvus, we're just observing the technical halacha. We're not thinking even during the mitzvah. We're only thinking about this din and that halacha. But we're not thinking at all about how my relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu can become so much deeper through this mitzvah. I feel a bit tefillah. And even comes to davening, the whole Indian of davening is to talk to God. We can just go through the motions and just say the words. And I didn't pay attention. Who are we talking to? Who are we standing in front of? We have to think, how many times during the routine of the day, shigras ayom, into the routine of the day, how many times do we even think about a Kadosh Baruch Hu? How does it even come to our minds? and what kind of relationship to evaluate much of my relationship with him. If we don't change this relationship with Hashem, if there's something which has more meaning for us, then we can't begin to change our life. We can't begin, again, you could do a little technical touching up, fixing up, but to actually to change one's life. Tshuva means to return. To return to what? Tshuva means to return to Hashem. The whole tachlis of tshuva is to go to a higher and higher madrega in that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, being a Jew. Okay, Mishnah will continue. What we're going to see next week is that what's fascinating is after all that we just spoke about, the way to begin the project is dafke with tiny little things. We'll start Mishnah next week. Yeah, I'm going to assume you're out.